Y'all worship despite the technical issues. Of course, the program we use froze when service started. I knew something was wrong when I walked in and Bernard was smiling at me. So I don't know why Bernard was smiling at me. So once I saw a different screen, I figured out what it was. But you know what? Our last Sunday in the gym at Seagrove School before we moved to the building, tech didn't work at all that Sunday. And I felt like it was God reminding us, you don't need all that. You don't have to have all that to worship Him. Sometimes simple is better. And sometimes simple allows us to focus in on Him. And so that was, I always take it as a lesson when something like that happens, a reminder that all we really need is God. You guys gathering here together, God is in our midst, God is in our presence, and we should be thankful for that. We are continuing our series today called I Am, and during this series, we're looking at the seven I Am statements in the Gospel of John. And we're looking at these statements because I believe that the future that we are going to have to live in is not going to be fantastic. It's not going to be fun. There's going to be a tough times ahead for us. And we need to know who Jesus is so that we will know how we can lean on Him. So last week we talked about how He is the bread of life, and we need to consume that bread. This week we're looking at how He is the light of the world. We talk a lot about the world being a dark place, and for good reason. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. We talk about the world being a dark place. There, he says that there's these powers, that our fight is against these powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We know the world is dark, and when we talk about the world in a spiritual sense, we're not talking about the physical earth. We're talking about the realm outside of God's kingdom. We're talking about the realm in which Satan rules, in which Satan is the prince of the air, is what Scripture calls him. And so we know this world is dark. We know the forces of darkness control the world, are at work in the world, and we are living in the midst of that. But I was interested, I was wondering what was the darkest place in the physical world. And so different websites said different things, but one place that they say is one of the darkest places in the world is Flagstaff, Arizona. It's the first international dark sky city, first internationally recognized dark sky city. This was actually where Pluto was discovered, at the Lau Observatory there. The reason why it's dark is because it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. So there's less light pollution to affect them be able to see the stars and be able to see the Milky Way. In North Carolina, the darkest place in North Carolina, from what I could tell, is Ocracoke Island. And I have actually heard that from people who have stayed at Ocracoke, that it's really amazing to go out on the beach late at night, midnight, later than that, and to see, you could see the Milky Way. And you're going to see a picture later, actually, from the Outer Banks that someone took, where you could just see the Milky Way, see more stars than what we can see here, even in little old Seagrove, in the middle of nowhere in Seagrove. I was also thinking, you'd think caves would be pretty dark. And so I was wondering, what is the deepest cave? And it's a cave in Russia, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. I would have butchered it, but it's 7,257 feet deep, or 1.37 miles. That's a deep cave. Can you imagine how dark it would be at the bottom of that cave? I was wondering, too, I was just thinking of different places where we could talk about darkness, but I was also wondering, what is the darkest place in the universe? And there's this place called the Boötes Void. And the Boötes Void, it means, literally means the great nothing. And this is a, artist's rendering of it. So there's this place in the universe where there seems to be hardly nothing. Very few stars, very few galaxies. I think I read a few things that said they think there could be a few galaxies in that area, but it's definitely a darker area in space, to the point that they call it the great nothing. But if you think about the darkest place that you can think of, the darkness the Bible speaks of is even darker than that. As children, and some people, like my wife, as adults, are afraid of darkness. But you know, we should be afraid of having to walk in spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness is the worst darkness we can experience. And when you're walking in darkness, we're told in Proverbs 2:13 that Proverbs says, these men turn from the right way to walk down dark paths. So when you're walking in darkness, it's another way of saying you're living sinful lives. You are turning from the right way and you're walking down a dark path. And we know that when we sin, if we continue to sin, Paul says, for the wages of sin is death. And so walking in spiritual darkness can and will lead to death unless we change course, and that's on each one of us. And so I've got good news for you today. Jesus came so that we could change course. Jesus said in John 8:12, and this is the verse we're interacting with the whole time today, He says, when He spoke to the people, He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I want to talk about three things Jesus does as the light of the world and how that relates to us and what we need to do with the knowledge that Jesus is the light of the world. I want to zero in on the last part of that verse to start out. He says that those who follow Him will have the light of life. So the first thing you need to know today is that the light gives life. The light gives life. We're going to compare the physical world to the spiritual world today. And when you think about the physical world, we have a big old bright thing out there that we have not seen very much here recently in North Carolina, have we? A dentist came in on Tuesday and he said, I woke up this morning and there was this thing in the sky that I didn't really know what it was, but it was bright and I couldn't hardly look at it. It's definitely shining bright today because it goes through that window right there and reflects on that right in my face. But we know that we need sunlight to survive. I was looking at food webs, taking me back to, I don't know, do y'all cover that in fifth grade? Fifth grade, so I should have went through the fifth grade teacher. She said, you should have. The teacher of the year for Remser Elementary School at that. But food web, plants, animals, and humans need sunlight to survive. Plants need sunlight to be able to get the nutrients they need to survive. And then animals eat plants, and then we eat animals. So if we didn't have sunlight, we wouldn't have no food. We'd be in trouble. But humans also need sunlight directly for vitamin D. In fact, some studies have shown that vitamin D is key to fighting COVID. And so there's been this focus on people taking supplements to boost their vitamin D numbers. But of course, you can go outside and get vitamin D from the sun. But I was also thinking about places where there are little sunlight. I think about caves. How much life is there in caves? Not a lot. I was thinking what caves I've been to. I've been to Linville Caverns up in the mountains. Me and Sarah actually took a day trip up there a couple years ago, and we didn't actually go in the cave, but we went to the cave. It was too long of a line, too big of a wait. But in Linville Caverns, I can remember there's very little life. In fact, the fish that were there, they couldn't see because they're just used to being blind because it's dark. And so kind of the way that they have evolved, they just don't see. They're blind. I didn't see any plants. I saw very few animals. It's hard for things to survive where there is no light, because light gives life. It's the same way in the spiritual world. This world is a dark place. We have sin running rampant. We have people living in sin. And the more that we live in sin, the darker the world's going to become. But the light of the world, Jesus, has come to give us life. This is my favorite verse probably in all of Scripture. Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." I love that. That we can have life and have it to the full. He is the sun that is shining brightly so that we can have life. Not only here on earth, but eternally. Eternal life is given through Him. But here's a key. It works very much the same in the physical world as well. He came so that life may be given. See, the light offers the opportunity for life to be given, but we have to get in front of it. It's the same way with the sun. The sun gives life. And so everything the sun touches that needs light to survive is going to have what it needs because the sun is shining brightly millions of miles away. That's outside of our power. The sun, we don't do nothing to make the sun shine, do we? That's outside of our power. The sun just shines, and I don't know how all the science work, but somehow the rays from the sun gives us things that we need. That's just how God created us. But it does no good, the sun does no good if we don't get in front of it to receive it. Grass, plants, trees, bushes, if they need sunlight to survive and they're not put in the sunlight, they will not survive. But that we have to put them in front of it. Same way with Jesus. Jesus offers the opportunity for life to be given. He came whether we wanted Him to or not. He gives life just because that is who He is. And those of us that have received Him as the light of the world, we know that He gives us life outside of our own power. That we can't make Him give life. We can't make Him give us eternal life. He just gives it because that's who He is. So then the question becomes, why does He not give life to everyone? See, life isn't given until you get in front of it. Life isn't given until you are exposed to it. Until you're exposed to light. Scripture tells us that darkness is our default state. And it's the same way in the physical world. Before God created the sun and all this, we're told in Genesis 1:2, the second verse in the Bible, the earth was formless and empty, and what was over the surface of the deep? Darkness. Darkness just is there. This was the default state of the world. We're told in Ephesians 5:8 that we were once darkness. Notice He doesn't say you were in darkness. You were once darkness. But now as light in the Lord, live as children of the light. So our default state is to be in darkness. And so unless we put ourselves in front of the light, which is Jesus, unless we expose ourselves to the light, we will stay in darkness and we will not have life that only He can give. And so we expose ourselves to the light by receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior, by learning from His teachings and by worshiping Him. Simply by gathering here today, you're exposing yourself to the light of the world. You're being exposed to Him. And I believe He's going to give you life today. I believe the more time you spend with Him, the more life you're going to be given. The greater life you're going to be given. But what I love about this is that we don't make Him do it. That's not in our power. It's in God's power. And He offers it to everyone. But it's up to us to get in front of it. It's up to us to expose ourselves to it. It's up to us to get into the light of Jesus on a regular basis. Parents, I want to tell you this. Make sure you're getting your kids into the light of Jesus on a regular basis. I am so worried right now, so concerned with people who are not... They have settled with online services. I'll just leave it at that. Not so much in our church, but I heard multiple times yesterday, oh, we're just watching online now. We're just watching online. We're just watching online. And I guarantee you the kids are running around the house not watching online. One thing about online is it's hard to offer kids services online. It's hard to offer what's going on over in the fellowship hall right now where the kids are being exposed to Jesus. Parents, you need to make sure that your kids are being exposed to Jesus daily and not just on Sunday. Not just on Sunday when we're teaching them, not just on Friday night at youth. Make sure that they are being exposed to the light of Jesus on a daily basis. How hard is it to read the Bible with them at night? Not hard. My mom used to do that with me, and I credit that for my faith. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior after Mom read the Bible with me one night. Mom did that on a regular basis. She had me in the light, and because of that, I now have eternal life within me. So make sure that you are getting your kids. Make sure you're getting other people. Make sure you're telling people about the light of Jesus. Make sure that you're getting other people in front of the light of Jesus, in the light of Jesus. Because if you're not in front of the light of Jesus, you're in front of darkness. Something else that when I was reading through my sermon today, this was not in here. I was thinking about what we take in. We're always taking in something. And some of the things we take in bring darkness into our mind. Some of the things we take in bring light. There was a post on Facebook I made yesterday. Someone was asking about a show on Netflix where there's tons of nudity. The Parents Guide rated it as a severe on nudity. And they were asking if it was a good show and whether they should watch it. And overwhelmingly, from Christians, non-Christians, yeah, watch it. Watch it. Watch it. But when the person found out there was nudity, they're like, no, I don't think I should be putting that into my mind. And I agree with them. You're exposing yourself to darkness when you're watching that. That's not good. It corrupts your mind. You're always taking in something. Make sure that we're putting ourselves and our kids and our families and our friends and our strangers, make sure we're putting them in front of the light of Jesus. Make sure we're exposing them to Jesus. Because they need life. They need the life that the light of the world gives. Everyone does. And if we are not delivering it to them and if we're not putting them in front of it, they're most likely getting some type of darkness from somewhere because it's everywhere right now. So make sure you're getting in front of the light of Jesus. So Jesus will give life if we get in front of Him. And we need to be intentional about getting in front of Him. Next part of that verse I want to focus in on is, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Jesus said, whoever follows me, they're not going to have to walk in darkness. Why is that? Because the light guides our life. The light guides our life. Thinking about in the physical world, we were fully prepared for this big ice storm this past week that was supposed to be big, that I'm thankful wasn't. We were fully prepared with our flashlights for the power to go out, for us not to be able to see. And luckily, we didn't need our flashlights. Luckily, we didn't need anything. But darkness, one of darkness's main goals and power is to limit you from seeing. When you are in darkness, you cannot navigate. When you're in darkness, you cannot see where to go. When you're in darkness, you just cannot see. So what light does is it enables you to see and it allows you to navigate. It literally takes away the power of darkness. Darkness does no good when light is there. Darkness does not really exist when light is there. It is gone. Same way in the spiritual realm. Jesus takes away the power of darkness. John 1:5 says this, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not, and other translations say, can never, and I like can never better. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never overcome it, has not overcome it, it will never overcome it. See, Jesus breaks the power of darkness over our life when we allow Him to shine in it. He enables us to see. We're told that we were actually blind. Proverbs 4:19 says this, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Be like walking, if it was pitch dark in here and I'm walking down these steps, I'm going to trip over this monitor right here. But if it's darkness and I can't see nothing, I don't know what I'm tripping over. That's the way the people are who are walking in darkness. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. We are blind. The God of this age, he's talking about Satan there, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We are blind without the light of the world shining into our life. We are blind. We're not able to navigate. We need a guide, and Jesus has come to be that guide in this dark world. I was thinking of an Old Testament comparison to this. I think about Israel being led by the Lord. Exodus 13, 21 through 22 says this. We're told that by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. And by night, because there's darkness, he went by a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. God always stayed in front of them, illuminating their path, even in the darkness, showing them where to go. He does the same thing for us today. He does the same thing for those of us that call him our Lord and Savior. He illuminates our path and he shows us the way. I added this when I went through my sermon on Friday. And I was thinking, he has given us a map right here, the Word of God. Shows us the way. It shows us how we need to live. He has illuminated our life to show us how we need to live in the light of who he is. But you know, one of the greatest things that I think we can know is that not only has he given us a map, but he has given us a guide that lives inside of us. Yeah. The Holy Spirit. Yeah. I hear people, I was reading a book, finished up a book this past week, and I've heard other people say this, ask God about everything. Like, if it's a decision that you need to make, no matter how small it is, and you don't know what the decision you need to make is, ask the Holy Spirit to be your guide. That's one reason why he's there, is to guide you. Jesus says, I'm sending another helper to you, the Holy Spirit. He is our helper. He is our guide. And if we would take the time to ask him, if we would take the time to listen to him, if we would take the time to inquire, to see what the Holy Spirit would want us to do, I think the path and the direction that many of our lives would be going in would be a lot different. But how often do we just say, well, I think this way's best and I'm going this way? Or this is what the world says, I'm going this way. Pretty often. And so when the Holy Spirit guides our path, when the light of the world illuminates the path in front of us, we have to follow. You can't say, thank you, God, for showing me the way, but I'm going to take this aisle. Yeah, that's often what we do every time that we choose to live contrary to the Word of God. When we choose to live contrary to the teachings of Jesus, we choose to walk our own way. But we have to actually follow him. And we actually follow him by doing what he tells us to do. John was really blunt in 1 John 2:4. He says, whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. We have to actually follow him. You can't say that you know the light of the world, you know Jesus is the light of the world, but you're not doing what he commands. He makes clear here, the Word of God says, you're a liar and the truth's not even within you. Yet how many people today say we know Jesus, but we don't do what he commands? Some choose to walk in darkness. John 3:19, light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. We see this today. Unfortunately, we're seeing it more and more. I don't know why, but here recently on Facebook, I have seen multiple people who have chosen the way of darkness And they literally love Satan. Worship Satan. And that, it amazes me that, I mean, they know that it's darkness. They celebrate that they're following the one who is darkness. And so that verse, I've seen that verse come true, unfortunately. People love darkness more than the light. And they choose to follow that way. But it should not be that way with us. We should choose to follow the light. If Jesus says he is the light of the world, then we are called to follow him. And that's a decision we all have to make. And so the light will guide our life if we allow him to, but we got to let him guide us. We've got to follow his lead. We've got to follow his path. Going back to our verse, John 8:12. I love that he says here that they will have the light of life. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but instead they will actually have the light of life. That sounds like we take possession almost. And elsewhere in Scripture, we're actually told that we have the light within us. And we're about to read a Scripture that says this. But this is my last point for you today, is that the light shines through our life. Or at least he should, if we're following him. Matthew 5:14, some would say this is contradicting what Jesus said here, but I don't think it is. Matthew 5:14, we're told that you, the church, followers of Jesus, disciples, we are the light of the world. How can we be the light of the world if Jesus is the light of the world? Seems like Scripture contradicts itself there. But actually, Scripture says you're the body of Christ. Christ lives within us. We are called to be the light of the world. Paul kind of hits on this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. He says, God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So this light, he says, this light is in our hearts. This light is within us. Those of us that are followers of God have this light within us. But then Paul continues and he compares us to fragile clay jars. He says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So this treasure that we have in our lives is the gospel, is the light, is Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus living within us. Jars of clay is basically pottery. And so it's very appropriate that we're talking about it here in the pottery capital of the world. Anybody that's ever dropped a piece of pottery, you know that it is very fragile. It's easily broken. Another way of translating this verse is earthenware vessels. We have this treasure in jars or vessels of clay. So what Paul was saying here is that we are like these fragile, easily broken, normal, common vessels that carry his gospel light to other people. That carry his gospel light wherever we go. So we are like I'm sure you guys have pottery at home. We are like these pieces of pottery that God has chosen to put his light within. And everywhere we go, we are that broken vessel. We are that fragile vessel carrying this light. And Paul says he chooses people like us, people like me and you, common, normal, easily broken, fragile people to show that this light, this power is from God and not from us. But how often do we bring the light into our life and we put the lid on and we don't let it shine through? We've got to let this light shine through. And Paul goes on to talk about how he's crushed on every side but not broken. He's perplexed but not in despair. Talks about how the death of Jesus is seen in his life so that the life of Jesus can be seen in others. And basically what he's talking about there, the way I've understood that verse or I've heard it taught before, is that the struggles of life press against us who are these vessels, and oftentimes these cracks show up. But guess what happens when those cracks show up? The light shines through. And you know, we don't even need these things pushing against us. We're broken enough, aren't we? At least I am. I have plenty of cracks that I wish was not there. But you know what? It's through our struggles, it's through our times, through some of the things that we go through that God shines through. And so we need to let this light shine through our life by three things here. Number one, doing good deeds. Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." I want to point out something here. Jesus says, "Let your light shine, that they may see your good deeds." So letting your light shine should lead into the good deeds that then glorify God. If we are focused on allowing the light of Jesus to shine through our lives, then we are going to do good deeds out of love for other people. And so we need to do these good deeds, letting this light shine to bring glory to God. That's one reason why I'm a big proponent, I love our church focus on outreach. Because that is doing good deeds that are letting our light shine. I hope that our community views us as a light. In fact, I'm thinking, and I've said this before, but over the summer during the pandemic, one of our neighbors that lives right here around the church, he told me, he said, "Man, since you guys took over there," he said, "this area has just come to life." Why is that? Because we are the light of the world. And we're letting him shine through us. He lives right here, and for him to say this area has just come to life, I hope that life continues to spread, don't you? I hope that life engulfs Seagrove, engulfs Randolph County and the surrounding counties and beyond that, and that we see a revival break out because we're letting the light of the world shine through us. And so we let the light shine through by doing good deeds. Number two, we've got to tell others about the light of the world. That's one great way of letting the light shine, is to tell someone about the light. Tell them what the light has done in your life. Tell them about what the light is doing in your life so that they will come to know the light themselves, that they would come to know Jesus themselves. But you know, some way, and I just simplified this last one, sometimes the best way to let the light shine is to live the life that the light has called us to live. A lot of light and life in there. But if you just follow the ways of Jesus, if you follow his guidance, if you follow the path that he has illuminated for us, the light will shine. People will see that. I think we need to be focused on this, especially in tough times like during this pandemic. You know what these people should have been asking us? Is how are you guys not fearful? How are you guys not afraid? How are you guys not worried? It's because we have the light that gives life within us. Our response should have been so different from the ways of the world that they should have been able to see a contrast. And I don't know if we live that out like we could have. But let that light shine through trials. Let that light shine through the tough times that you go through. But you know what? We often block the light from shining. These past few days, when it has been rainy and cloudy, was the sun still shining? Yeah. The sun rose up, it was still there, but what was happening? Something was blocking it. When you go into a cave, that's a solid block. There's no light getting through there. We have darkening shades at our house. There is no light getting through there. That was one of the things I requested so I could sleep late. She said, "That's true." The light's completely blocked in a case like that. Clouds, when there's cloud cover, the light is dimmed. We could still tell it was day because it was light outside. Darker than it is today, but it was light outside. The clouds dimmed the light. But then when it's clear skies like today, the light shines through and it's going to warm it up into the 60s this week. I know we're thankful for that, most of us anyway. I know, that's why I said most of us. I think about how we often are in one of those three categories as well. Sometimes we block the light from shining through our life when we do not follow God. Some of us are caves. Some of us have darkening shades all over our life, and we're not allowing Him to shine through. These are people who are, some people who are not interested in Him at all. Other people who are here on Sunday morning, but they don't live the life that He has called us to live through the week. We block that light from shining through to other people. We block that light from shining through in this dark world. Many of us fall into this next category. We're like a cloudy day. We dim the light from shining through our life because we do not follow God well. These are people who are only interested in Jesus at times. They're not fully committed. Sin continues to reign, and sin, as we know, brings darkness, and that darkness blocks or dims the light from shining to other people. We have shades right here. I can still see the light shining through because there's some cracks there. But those shades are dimming and blocking the light from shining through. That's a picture of many of us in our life. Because we continue to allow sin and darkness to reign, we're not letting the light shine like He could. But this world is in need of people who are going to allow the light to shine through our life in its fullness. And we do that when we completely follow Him. We do that when we are completely and fully committed to Him, and when we're living the life He has called us to live. That light shines through and affects other people. When I worked at Food Lion, I remember, and this was just God's anointing on me very early on, before I accepted my call in ministry, people would come through my line and they would say, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, how did you know?" And they said, "You just have this light about you." And God was telling me that, was having those people tell me that to get me to accept my call in ministry. I know that those were signs that were coming from Him. I was amazed. I was like, you could tell I was a Christian. I didn't tell them, I didn't say nothing to them, but they just said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" And then I remember people specifically saying to me, "You just have this light about you." And I was amazed. It took me back to like Moses. Isn't it Moses who went before God, and when he came back down, there was a glow about him? Church, we should be glowing. We don't have to wait for a high priest to go to God. We have direct access to God. We should be glowing people. People should be able to tell that we are Christians. This world should not be as dark as it is because we are being the light of the world that He has called us to be. I think about us as a reflection of the light of Jesus. We need to be true reflections of that light. We need to allow that light to shine. We need to be glowing wherever we go. And every single one of us can be better with that. Every single one of us could. The world needs it. And so takeaways today is that, yes, Jesus is the light of the world. And as the light of the world, the light gives life. But we need to get in the light. We need to get exposed to the light. We need to expose others to the light. Number two, the light guides our life. And you need to let Jesus guide your life by actually following Him. Don't continue to do what you want to do. Follow Him. Let Him guide. It'd be like walking down a dark alley when you have the lighted pathways in a city. Nothing good happens in the dark alleys, yet most of us choose to walk in the dark alleys rather than following the lit pathway. And then finally, the light shines through our life. We can't dim or block that light from shining through by not living the life that God has called us to live. There was a post this past week. Sarah and I honeymooned at the Outer Banks, and it's one of my favorite places on earth. I love going to Outer Banks. And so I follow a lot of photographers from the Outer Banks. And there's this one photographer named Wes Snyder, and the pictures he takes are just absolutely amazing. So this past week, well, let me give you some more context. He will go to Ocracoke. He'll go up to some of the northern beaches where the light pollution is not so bad to take pictures of the Milky Way. Amazing pictures. I have never seen it at the Outer Banks myself because I'm in bed by 10, but he stays up all night a lot of times, and he even has photography sessions with people out there at the middle of the night when it's darkest. But this past week, the power went out on the Outer Banks, and he posted that he heard an explosion. He don't really know what happened, but the power went out. And so he went to Oregon Inlet, and this is normally a well-lit area. This is where the fishing boats come in and out. We used to watch Wicked Tuna on National Geographic Channel, and they have a Wicked Tuna Outer Banks. Many of the boats on Wicked Tuna Outer Banks come out of Oregon Inlet. And so he, when the power was out, he decided that he would go to Oregon Inlet, who's normally this lit-up place, to take pictures of the Milky Way. And so look at these pictures that he took. That's amazing, isn't it? And you can tell there's some lights on, like on the boats, because, you know, they don't run on power. And then he did say, go and put the next picture up. He did say that there was some emergency lights on. But because the lights went out, he could see those lights better and take these beautiful pictures. I think the lights are going to go out in our world. It's going to get darker. But we should be like those stars shining. We should be shining brightly. I felt led to add this last part on here. One of the darkest places I ever been to is the abortion clinic on Randleman Road in Greensboro. And we're inviting you to come up there this Saturday at 9 a.m. Be part of this ministry called Love Life. It's a fantastic ministry. But basically, we worship at a church that's right beside the abortion clinic. A church where the pastor's wife had got an abortion at that abortion clinic a long time ago. But now, he's pro-life. And now hosts that ministry there. And it's big in the Love Life movement. But we sing, we worship at the church, and then everybody, a lot of times there's, you know, 100 or so people there, we walk over to this little restaurant, little Chinese or Japanese restaurant, and it's the abortion clinic's behind the restaurant. The restaurant owner lets us go into the parking lot, and we're right on the line. So let's say Sarah's at the line, the property line. We're like right at the line. And a lot of times you got abortion workers lined up in their rainbow vests, trying to block you from being able to see the abortion clinic, from being able to talk to the people. The parking's on the hill lower than that. There's been times out there at the abortion clinic, and I heard Pastor Brent tell this story one time, the birds were not singing. It was just dead, a dead silence. Darkness surrounded that building. And then when the church showed up, birds started singing. When the church started worshiping, it's really powerful to worship in a place of darkness. It's really powerful to be worshiping right here when you know babies are being murdered just a few feet from you. But the birds began to sing. Life began to be seen in that area. And one time, I've told this story before, but it just shows the power that the church can have. One time, when the church showed up, the lights went off in the abortion clinic. The church showed up on Saturday morning, was praying, was worshiping, and the power went off. I think they average, I want to say, and this is a random number, but I want to say 15 abortions on a Saturday normally. That day it was zero. That's not a coincidence. The church shows up, the power goes off. because the light of the world showed up. And that light shines brighter than any other light. Church, let your light shine brightly. But you've got to let the light of the world shine in your life first. You've got to let Him guide your life. You've got to let Him give you life. You've got to be exposed to Him. But I want you to know that we are vessels carrying this light within us. And if you're like me, Satan loves to remind me of just how broken my vessel is. But God regularly uses broken vessels to let His light shine in other people, to other people. God still wants me to carry His light, and He still wants you to carry His light too. So I think it's appropriate for us to end today by singing the song, Broken Vessels. And I want to go through the lyrics real quick, just like I did with Path of Peace. Verse 1 says, all these pieces broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole. So before Christ, we were a bunch of pieces that's broken and scattered. But in mercy, Jesus came, the light of the world came, and He gathered us back together, and He made us whole. We have this, it's a fake pottery piece, but it's out there in the building that I wish I would remember to got. But it looks like a bunch of pieces were just pieced back together. That's a picture of our life. The chorus actually goes into the chorus of Amazing Grace. And so we know Amazing Grace. But then at the end it says, was blind, but now I see. God's amazing grace saved us. We once were blind, but the light of the world has enabled us to see. The chorus that was added on with this song says this, oh, I can see you now. Oh, I can see the love in your eyes. Laying yourself down, raising up the broken to life. Because of His amazing grace, we now can see, and guess what we can see? We can see Him. When we're singing, I can see you now, we're not singing to the worship team, we're not singing to no one else, we're singing to God. We're singing to Jesus, because He has defeated the power of darkness to blind us, and now we can see Him. And we can see the love in His eyes, we can see that He laid Himself down for us, and that He's raising us to life. Verse 2. Lord, take this heart, I'll be your vessel, the world to see your life in me. When we sing this, I want you to pray that. Lord, take this heart, I want to be your vessel. I want the world to see your life, your light that gives life in me. So as we sing, as we respond today, I want you to sing this, I want you to mean it. But I also want you to be praying about and thinking about, who do you need to expose to the light of Jesus? Is it yourself? Is it your kids? Is it friends? Is it family? Is it co-workers? Is it strangers? Who do you need to expose to the light of Jesus? Then I also want to ask you to prayerfully consider whether you are blocking or dimming the light from shining through. And if you are, repent for that today. And maybe you just need to ask God to guide you in one way or another right now. You are at a decision point in your life and you don't know what direction to go. I want to invite you to come up here and to pray and ask that the light would illuminate the path that you need to take. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. And maybe you're down or struggling today and you need Jesus to breathe life into an area of your life. Come up here and be exposed to Him through worship Him today. Church, He is the light of the world. He's waiting to shine on your life, but you have to get in front of Him. You have to expose yourself to Him. You have to get in Him. Stand to your feet. Let's pray.